This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, it's been another absorbing week of football action. The Premier League, of course, is a thriller. Whether Manchester City or Liverpool win has yet to be decided. And in the Champions League, there are four English clubs. It's really fascinating. And that will unfold this week as well. I'm joined by Liam Brady and John Giles. Liam, the game against Chelsea, I think most people agree that it was the most difficult task that Liverpool will face on the run-in. They got the job done well against a very useful team with Eden Hazard, Kante, Higuain able to come on as a substitute. In the end, Liverpool were convincing.
Yeah, there's two goals in the second half, Eamon, obviously were crucial, and they were great goals, weren't they? Even the first one, I know Salah was out of this world, but even the first one was a well-worked move and a good header at the far post by Mane. Liverpool stood up to the pressure of the game and they handled it as well as a team, challenging could do. They were very impressive, and it's been a brilliant season. We've been talking about these two teams for most of the season, Manchester City and Liverpool.
Yeah.
And they are giving as good as they get. Both teams are winning week in, week out. And they'll probably have to do that. If one of them wants to win the league, they'll probably have to go and win all their games.
Yeah, John, a lot of talk over the last 5 or 6 weeks about Liverpool looking nervous in front of their own fans, particularly, and an atmosphere of nervousness in the stadium. And of course, the Chelsea game would have brought back memories of 2014 when Brendan Rodgers, Liverpool, were on the brink. Steven Gerrard slipped, Chelsea got a soft goal, and that was Liverpool dead. Yesterday's result and performance would have buried that ghost.
Yeah, I thought they were very good, Eamon. Well deserved to win the match. They had a lucky spell, which you need at times.
Yeah, Hazard, when he switched positions. I thought Chelsea made a mistake starting him as a front player, especially with Higuain on the bench.
Yeah, well, they've done that before, Eamon. Yeah. Sarri's done that before quite a bit. And it didn't make a difference when he came on, because he got at Alexander a bit. Alexander's not the best defender in the world.
No.
Hazard was very good. He hit the post when he was through his own. He hit a shot before that. It could have been 2-2 within like 5-10 minutes of each other. But overall, Liverpool deserved to do what they did. And that happens in when you're going in the run in to win the Premiership. These type of things happen. But obviously, if you score the goals, that changes the game totally. But over the 90 minutes, Liverpool were good. Yeah. And the two goals, as Liam said, especially the second one from Salah, was really outstanding. So it was a good win in what was on paper probably maybe the most difficult match for the rest of the season. But that's on paper. But they did the job and they did it well.
Yeah, Liam, last year, City won the league, I think, by 20 points. It was all over, done and dusted, and they looked a super team. Liverpool have matched them all the way this year. In their own way, they've got so many quality players, from Robertson, the left back, to Salah, to Van Dijk at the back. There's a lot of ways they can hurt you. And people like Fabinho have come in and done really well, and Henderson looks like he's upped his game as well. So they are a real quality team now, Liverpool, aren't they?
Absolutely, they have strength and depth now, Eamon. Whereas, as we well know, they didn't have in past seasons. They were super dependent on the front three to win them games. The defence before Van Dijk came, it was all over the place. They had problems in goal with the goalkeepers. He didn't really play Robertson when he could have done.
Yeah.
We were screaming for him to leave out Moreno, was it?
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. But, you know, with good acquisitions in the transfer market and people, you know, doing their jobs properly and the spirit and determination that Klopp manages to get his players to play with, you know, they've turned that 20 points around, and as much as that, you know, they're given as good as they get. They won't be far short of 100 points when they finish this league campaign. But if City win all the games, it might not be enough. It's been an absolutely brilliant season in that respect. And also the top four race has been good as well, you know, and that's still very much ongoing. But the battle to win the Premiership has been brilliant this year.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the Champions League places because, as you say, it is a really tight race and Arsenal are in it. John, one of the... Many people believe now that Virgil van Dijk will be Footballer of the Year. He's been hugely impressive in my mind. How impressed have you been by him overall?
I think he's been very, very good, Eamon. I think they needed somebody like him very, very badly to do it. And he's filled that position really, really, really well for him. He's made a big difference to him. I think so has the goalkeeper. And I know we've spoken about Liam and yourself. Robertson as well coming into the team have been big, big players for them.
Yeah, Van Dijk has... that role requires, at its best, leadership. He's brought a calm to them. You can see that he's moving people around. You can see that he is, if you like, the boss of that defence. That's as important as his skill set, which is really good. He's great on the ball, really outstanding in the air, quick. He doesn't seem to lack anything.
No, he's a very, very good player, and he's made a huge difference to them. I remember when he was at Southampton, I used to think, you know, when he was like John Terry, when he was coming out to block a real shot, he wasn't quite so good. And now he hasn't got to do that so much at Liverpool as he did at Southampton. That would be the only little fault I would find in him, that when he's going out to block a shot, that he really goes and does it. But he hasn't let them down in that situation, because I don't think Liverpool get that many shots against him. So it's been a terrific signing for him. He's made a huge difference. You know, but the main thing is, you know, you talk about leadership and that. Well, you know, good players doing their job is leadership.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. The main thing for any leadership on the field, do your own job well.
Yeah.
And he does that well. And he's been a very, very, very good signing for him.
Liam, we've seen him over the years. We saw him first playing for Celtic in the Champions League, then at Southampton. And I was never sure that he was quite... hard enough, if you like. There was a sense maybe he was just, you know, there was a softness about him. How impressed have you been by the development in his game over the years we've been watching him?
Well, he always had a little bit of complacency about him.
Yeah.
And he still does in that respect. So if he does make a mistake, it's usually been a bit... he's usually been a bit overconfident, you know, but he hasn't made any notable mistakes this season. I think they give a goal away against Fulham where there was a mix-up between him and the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But otherwise, as John said, like, he's got everything. You know, as you said, he's really, really quick. He's good in possession of the ball. Some of his long-range passing to get Liverpool on the attack, you know, against Porto last week in the Champions League, he hit two or three great balls out of the fence, you know, diagonal balls straight to the fullback's feet, and Liverpool are away on the counter attack. He's also good positionally. He's getting, you know, he's covering his centre backs who play with him, whether it's Lovren or whether it's Matip. Those guys are looking better because of his presence. He really has got it all, you know. And I don't know whether he will be voted Player of the Year. It could be that Sterling does him for it, because he's been outstanding as well in the second half of the season. Absolutely brilliant. He's got it all. And, you know, he was at Celtic, and I bet there was an awful lot of the big clubs looked at him and said, well, he's playing Scottish football. It's not that good. He's making mistakes up there. No, we'll leave him alone, you know. But boy, are they regretting it now. Like Arsenal, they need a centre-back. Manchester United haven't got anything like Van Dijk. Chelsea, you know, haven't really replaced John Terry.
And you could say Manchester City, Liam.
What a signing. What?
You could say Manchester City, well. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he would easily be the best Manchester City defender. There's no doubt about that. I reckon they all looked at him when he was at Celtic and said, well, it's an easy league. He's making mistakes up there as well. No, we're going to leave him alone. And Liverpool have done great to get him.
John, does Liverpool have 4 games to go, I think? Yeah, they do. And Manchester City have 5. City win their 5, they're going to win on goal difference. But in that 5, they have a couple of tough games. The Manchester Derby next Sunday, next weekend, they go to play Manchester United at Old Trafford, which isn't quite the formidable challenge it might have been three or four weeks ago. The other game, obviously, that stands out in their programme is Tottenham at home, quite apart from the Champions League. They'll win on goal difference, City. If they win their 5 games, they're untouchable unless Liverpool knock 15 past Huddersfield and Cardiff.
They'll win on points, Eamon, won't they? They'll win on points.
They'll win by a point. How do you see it now, John?
Well, first of all, Eamon, I think we should mention City from Saturday.
Absolutely, from Sunday, yeah.
For Sunday.
Yes, Sterling, is, as Liam said, very good. And he's a player you've always liked.
Well, I liked him at Liverpool, Eamon. I thought when he was very young there. Then he went to City, and I thought for a while he wasn't playing, certainly wasn't playing as well as he is now. He's sort of grown up.
Yes.
You know, I thought he was a bit, you know, easy knocked off the ball and that. But this season, now Saturday, he was outstanding.
Yeah.
Scored 2 goals when they needed them. But City played well on Saturday. Crystal Palace, they made them look bad. They won it well. They got a goal against them when they were 2-0. When they were 2-0 up, they had a free kick against them, but then came back into it and won. So well, but Sterling was outstanding.
Yeah.
And I certainly definitely think he's in the. Now I wouldn't have said this a few months ago. He was in the. He's definitely be in the running.
Yeah.
Contender for player.
And Guardiola has improved him.
Yeah, he's especially the last 2 to 3 months, Eamon.
Yeah.
I think he's really come on. He's sort of grown up and he's out on the pitch and he was taking control of it. Like you're looking for leaders, we talked about Van Dijk. Well, wingers are not usually leaders. But he definitely did what needed to be done. He scored 2 goals and he scored a lot of goals this season, missed a few as well. But City overall in a match that could have been difficult because Palace can be difficult, they played well and beat them well in the end.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the interesting things I'd like to ask both of you about it, John, I'll start with you because we talked about it yesterday. Kevin De Bruyne, he was City's best player last season. I think he might have been Footballer of the Year. He certainly came very close, but he was a driving force in that City team when they won the championship so convincingly last year. When they needed him in games, big games, he stepped up to the plate. He scored goals, he made goals, and he was setting the tempo for the whole team. He's an entirely different animal this year.
Well, we spoke at Damon last week on your last podcast, and you know, my take on it is that he's playing too far forward. When he was playing in the middle of the field last year, I think he was the best midfield player in that position in the Premiership. For some reason or other, he's playing further forward. Now, a couple of times he came deep, actually for the first goal, I'm sorry, he put Sterling through.
Yeah.
But in other words, the people who are in the middle of the field have to give him the ball and they're not capable of doing it, where he should be back delivering the ball and bringing people together. And for some reason or other, I'm surprised at Guardiola doing it because that's what he did last season and he was the best midfield player in the Premiership. This season, he had an injury early on, as we spoke about earlier, and he had an injury early on with setting back a bit. But since he's come back, he's playing more forward. And it doesn't suit him and it doesn't suit City. As I said, the first goal was a really good pass from him to put Sterling through the score. But he should be back in that position all the time. And I think if he does go back into that position, we'll definitely see him in as a much better player than he's playing at the moment. That's for sure.
Liam, there's a couple of times he was taken off early after 65 minutes, which is quite a long way. From the end, 25 minutes from the end of a game, walked past Guardiola. It was about four or five weeks ago. He looks a bit sulky at times. A player who clearly has an outstanding talent, but not himself. at the moment?
Yeah, he was. He performed better last season. Now, I don't know whether it's down to the fact that he had a World Cup this season. He's come back a bit tired.
Yeah.
As John mentioned there, he's picked up a couple of injuries. So it's been a stop-start season for him this year. And as John pointed out, he's playing a different position to where he performed so brilliantly last year. So, you know, Guardiola, he might, you know, if you're a player there, you wouldn't know where you stand with him, you know, because he does change things around an awful lot, you know. And when you're a player and you're a top player, you want to be playing every match, you know.
Yeah.
And every match in the position that you like. So perhaps there is a bit of, you know, sulking going on. I'm not sure, Eamon, but I know he's had a few niggly injuries and it's been a stop-start season for him. He's an important player and they're going to need him, you know. As you mentioned, they've got Spurs and Man United in their fixture list coming up, and they're not going to be easy. You know?
Yeah, and for example, I talked to John about it on Friday. In the game against Tottenham, the Champions League game during the week, he put De Bruyne and Sané on in the 89th minute. He didn't start them, A, and B, then he put them on with maybe 3 minutes to go, which was odd.
I think he picked the wrong team, to be quite honest. You know, but he's known for that, Guardiola, isn't he? He sometimes picks his team in relation to the opposition rather than some managers who pick their team and have a way of playing themselves. And they say, well, you know, no matter what we're up against, we're going to stick to the same way of playing. But at Manchester City, he's picked different sides. And in my opinion, he's picked them in relation to what he's going to be up against.
Yeah.
It backfired, you know, against Spurs, because a 1-0 win for Spurs is a very, very good position to be in going into the second leg this week.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that in a minute. John, the Champions League is huge, obviously, to qualify. Spurs, Chelsea, Manchester United, Arsenal, four very, very big clubs, separated by 4 points. Tottenham have 67 points, Chelsea 66, Man U 64, Arsenal 63. Arsenal two games in hand, one of them away to Watford tonight. It's huge, and that's what made the Chelsea defeat yesterday at Anfield, you know, a blow for them. Harry Kane out of the Tottenham side now, apparently, for the season. And Manchester United seriously gone off the boil. We watched the Manchester United match against West Ham. They're very lucky to win it.
Yeah, they were. They didn't play well at all, Eamon. I don't think they played well in recent weeks. And, you know, I thought West Ham were a couple of bad decisions against them as well.
Yeah.
So, like, the shine has gone off Manchester United, definitely from the early days with Solskjaer. And it's not the best time of the season to go off form a bit, as you say. They're very, very difficult matches coming up to try and get into the top four.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done well to get them into that position. When he took over first, it didn't look like they'd ever get into the top four. But now, at the time when you need them to really come on, and they've gone off the boil. So they'd probably be the least fancied now.
Yes.
To get into the top four position, Eamon.
Liam, Arsenal have a massive game tonight away to a difficult Watford team who are in the cup final and are tough and very useful. It's a massive match, isn't it?
Yeah, and you'd have to worry, you know, as an Arsenal fan, which I am, you know, I'm a little bit worried about any match away from home. Our away form has been terrible. You know, we haven't managed to keep a clean sheet all season away from home. And Watford, as you say, on the back of, you know, winning that same great comeback in that semi-final against Wolves to get to Wembley, you know, are going to be riding high. And it's going to be a difficult match for us tonight, you know.
Yeah.
And we have some in the run-in. We have two or three difficult games. We have to go to Leicester. We also have to go to Wolves. So our away form being as it's been, you'd be worried, you know. It'll probably go down to the last, I'm, you know, convinced, you know, it'll go down to the last match of the season for probably three of the four of those clubs that we've talked about. You know,
yes.
I think Tottenham being in their new stadium now, they won both games that, well, they won both league games that they had there. They also won a Champions League game there. So I think even without Harry Kane, I would fancy them to finish in the top four. Whereas Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal, I think they're going to have to battle it out. You know, it's going to be one from that three, to be honest.
Yeah, an incredible stat, Liam. Arsenal have not kept a clean sheet away from home in the Premier League all season, and I don't think that's ever happened to any team in the Premier League before. I might be wrong about that, but certainly it's a desperately bad stat when you have those, the game at Watford, and as you pointed out, the game against Wolves as well, away from home.
Well, it's a telling stat, Eamon. It's a telling stat, isn't it? It tells you that, you know, the team away from home are not really committed. They're not playing with the determination they should do. I talked to you about that because I was at Everton last week. You know, the different team at home, they seem to have much more cohesion and determination at home than they do away from home. And, you know, that's the worrying thing for an Arsenal supporter. They beat Napoli now during that.
Good result.
It was a good result, and they played very well in the first half. So they need to repeat that kind of performance away from home, and tonight's going to be a big match, you know.
Yeah.
If they don't get the 3 points tonight, you would have to think that we're going to finish out of the top four.
Okay, just a point on Solskjaer before we move on, Liam. I don't think we've talked to you about it. We talked to Didi a little bit and John. I talked to Didi and John last week. There's a lot of people who nodded their heads sagely and said, yeah, Manchester United had to give him the job. After the PSG result, the fact that they got into the quarterfinal of the Champions League and looked like they were going to finish in the top four, I certainly nodded my head sagely. I can't quite remember what I said, but it was generally, well, I'm sure you can or somebody can. I was generally sort of saying, okay, I approve. You can't deny that he has turned this ship around. I've now changed my mind, and I think the job is too big for him. But, I mean, first of all, I'd like to know what you think. And secondly, if you'd agree, and indeed, John, that looking at their team and looking at them against West Ham, no matter who was there, if God himself was there, you'd have a hell of a job in making a really formidable championship-winning team out of that squad.
Well, yeah, but that, you know, that's not his fault, is it? You know,
no, absolutely not.
He's got the job on the back of as we have said, getting the team into contention for the top four, where it didn't look like that was going to be possible under Mourinho, having a run in the Champions League that possibly is going to come to an end, or probably going to come to an end this week. So that's the reason he got the job. Now that he has the job, he has to go about, you know, doing a lot of things to that squad. They have to get rid of a lot of players. And we talked about Sanchez like last week. I think John was saying, well, you just have to get rid of these people. And they have, and the club have got to back them. And even if they cost them money, there's got to be a real makeover of that squad, you know.
Yeah.
Even watching Pogba against West Ham, you'd be inclined to think, well, how long are you going to put up with this guy? You know, I know he scored from the penalty, but he's messing about in the middle of the park. He's dribbling where he shouldn't be, and he's having the ball taken off him. And, you know, and Solskjaer has got to sort those things out. But we've got to see whether he can do it, whether he has the capacity to do it, whether he has the determination to do it. You know, someone like Alex Ferguson,
yes,
would be able to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Solskjaer has that question mark. And I think that the whole club have got to help him sort this situation out, you know?
Yeah.
The chief executive has his work cut out. If, you know, the whole squad needs changing over. We talked about how good Van Dijk is. Manchester United absolutely need a really top-class centre-back. And they've got to find that for Solskjaer. Because with this squad, as you say, I mean, he's not going to win anything.
No. John, where were you on Solskjaer when he got the job?
I was said it on your program on record, Eamon. I wouldn't have agreed. I didn't agree.
You didn't?
No. I think Pochettino was, there was a lot of talk I would have gone for Pochettino. And I'm not sat there now because the results haven't been good.
Right.
Because I believed he was ideal for the situation to go into, as they say, put his arm around the players, and he did get the best from him, and he did very, very well in what he had to do. I mean, it was a certain type of job. Like all jobs, it needed certain types of people to go into.
You need a big character to go into Manchester United.
Well, you do now. Like, you know, like he's done everything that's been asked of him. As
this is Solskjaer.
To do what he did. But when it, what I believe is that when it get you get past that situation and you're looking to the next step, then it's a different story altogether. You know, what was needed was they needed. Now, what I believe is there's somebody else needed, like a Pochettino, to continue it on.
Yeah.
So I wasn't in agreement of him getting the job. And that it's early days yet. Good luck, he might do what's needed to be done. But in my opinion, I wouldn't have given the job. I would have gone for Pochettino in particular.
Yeah, and someone with presence as well, because if you look at the two great Manchester United managers, and all the great managers really, from Wenger to Ferguson to Matt Busby to Don Revie to Bill Shankly, I mean, you do need a large character and strength and stuff that on the face of it, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't possess.
Yeah, we don't know him.
He's a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Popular guy.
What you find in situations, it depends what situation the manager goes into, right? I think in Solskjaer's case, after the Mourinho management and his manner and the way he upset a lot of people, he humiliated a lot of people, that needed to be fixed. Right.
Yeah.
Now Solskjaer was the ideal man. He's a very good mannered lad, and he's putting his arm around him, got a smile.
Former Manchester United player.
And players also wanted to show it was the manager's fault that they weren't doing well.
Yeah.
Now once the end of the season comes, it's a different job altogether. He might and should buy. I think you and Liam are saying, say 3 or 4 new players. Eamon. If he buys 3 or 4 new players, he's going to upset 3 or 4 players that are already there.
Yeah.
So you come into a different job altogether.
Yep.
Now, I can imagine Ferguson and any of these great managers, you saying, right, that's it. This is what we do.
Yeah.
Now, Solskjaer has to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I doubt if he has the personality and the temperament or whatever's needed to do that particular job. For his sake, I hope I'm wrong, but the point of making the appointment when he did, in the 3-year contract, I wouldn't have done it for what it's worth. I would have got Pochettino or somebody else.
Just a point
in.
That Liam made, which I strongly agree with, about Pogba.
Mm.
I think Pogba's messing. I think he's talking up going to Real Madrid, saying the greatest club in the world and all of that. I think that Solskjaer hasn't got performances out of him. Although he's taken the penalties now, he's acting the leader.
Yeah, when he's acting it, I mean, there's a difference between acting it and doing it, you know. I think, again, from Solskjaer's case and Mourinho's case, he was ideal for Pogba to cope. Pogba had been humiliated by Mourinho and then needed to show. And then there was a slight, well, there was a good change of position too as well. You know, whoever was responsible for that in Pogba's case, it was definitely because they took the responsibility off him being in the middle of the midfield and gave him like a free role, which is the only one he can do. But with Pogba, I mean, you know, he's what we call a modern player. You wouldn't know what was in his head.
Yeah.
You know, you would, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he thought, well, Real Madrid are out there. That'd be a nice, because he's hinted at quite a few times, it'd be lovely to go to Real Madrid. So he's only worried about himself and thinking about himself. In my opinion, he's only thinking about himself. He's not thinking about Solskjaer or anybody else anyway, Eamon. So it might well be that he could still go. If I were to manage Manchester United, I'd let him go.
Yeah.
And get the 100 million in and buy 2 or 3 really top-class players with it.
Okay, if he gets 100 million for Pogba now, John, I think Solskjaer is a genius. Anyway, let's move on to the Champions League. Liam, a big, big game. Manchester City 1-1 to Spurs. And Spurs, no Harry Kane. But Lucas Moura came on for Harry Kane in the game, in the Champions League game, and on at the weekend he scored a hat-trick, the first hat-trick in Spurs' new stadium. He's quick, very quick and very skillful, and does get a goal. Without Harry Kane going to play in Manchester, it's a real challenge for Spurs. At the start of the season, Harry missed 6 games and they won 4 of them. So they couldn't be said to be a one-man team, although his goals are huge for the club.
Yeah, I think Spurs did quite well when he was out injured in earlier on in the season, Eamon.
Yeah, they did.
You know, and the Song is a very useful player as well.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, Lucas Moura, you can see Tottenham setting up very, very deep and, you know, packing the defence out, making sure City, you know, don't get the space where they like to get the space, just on the inside of the wings. And, I would see Spurs playing very, very tight, and it'll possibly be just one up, whether it's Song or whether it's Moura, I don't know. And just trying to frustrate City and hit them on the break. And as we've seen, some sides coming to Manchester in the Champions League, they have been vulnerable to good teams, you know, who sit back and hit you on the break.
And Monaco. Monaco last season, spectacularly,
A very, very, very tight game. As I said, I thought he picked the wrong team against Spurs in the first leg. And, you know, City have it all to do. If they get an early goal, you know, they could go on from there and wipe the floor with Spurs, because they are capable of doing that, Man City. But I can see Spurs, you know, giving them a real, real tough time of it. You know, it's really in the balance, this game, and it's very difficult to call. It's not like you've lost 1-0 away from home and it was a sloppy performance, but you're miles better than the opposition, so you know you're going to turn it around at home.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that kind of game at all. I think City are in for a worrying time to qualify.
Yeah, John, your take on that?
Well, they've a lot to do, Eamon. You know, again, that's what's great about the Champions League is you do have a chance in the second leg.
Didn't get the away goal either. Away goals can be huge, can't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Spurs were to get a goal, for example, City would need three.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the game, Eamon. You know, I think Spurs, like Liam said, I think they probably will sit back. If I were them, I wouldn't sit back, to be quite honest. I'd have a go at City, because I think City, actually, they're at the best when they're coming onto you like that. You know, they're not that great at the back. So if you're not going to put them under pressure at the back, not really looking for an away goal, and then they've got a free run. But it'll be a fascinating match. But it's very, very hard to know what's going on, because City team are going to be different. Kane is out. I know that he did well when he was out last time, but you wouldn't consciously.
I know you wouldn't
leave him out. You know what I mean?
Especially against a dodgy defence.
Yeah, you know, like, but it's just a fascinating game. It's balanced in Spurs' favour at the moment, because they are a goal in front, obviously. But it'll be a very, very, very difficult game for Spurs, in that City, with their better team out probably than they played the other day. It's just fascinating. I mean, nobody knows. We're only guessing at it. But I'm really looking forward, like everybody else, I'll be looking forward to the game to see what happens. I wouldn't like to call it, to be honest.
No. Okay. Liam, Paul Pogba says in this morning's paper that Manchester United can go to the Nou Camp and beat Barcelona and qualify. What do you think?
I don't think they can, Eamon, because I think they're vulnerable at the back, Manchester United. And Barcelona have such good forwards. And, you know, even the game they won away against Paris Saint-Germain, missed so many really, really good chances. You know, they should have really scored four or five against Man United that game, the amount of chances they had.
Yeah.
So, I don't think they can do it, Eamon. I don't. They'll probably go to the Nou Camp and maybe score, but I think Barcelona will probably score two or three goals.
Yeah, Messi was very quiet last week. He did take a blow to the head, but I thought once they got the away goal, I think they were comfortable and kind of just played keep ball a lot of the time and realised with the away goal they'd be hot favourites. I just want to go, Liam, to your old club, Juventus. Ronaldo scoring for them away to Ajax. They have their away goal. They got Ajax at home. They're going to win the Italian league by 17 points from Napoli, which you saw Napoli last week. That's not necessarily a great endorsement. But against Ajax at home, you'd fancy them.
Yeah, you would have to say, yeah, they'll go through. But, you know, Ajax will take great heart from the way they performed away against Madrid, Eamon.
Yeah.
Everybody thought that was a, you know, a foregone conclusion as well. So it's they're drawing the game. It's 1-1. So, you know, Ajax will fancy their chances. And Juventus, they're quite an aging team, particularly at the back. So I wouldn't, you know, whereas I'd say Barcelona, pretty certain to go through. I would say there is a slight question mark, but you would say possibly 70% Juventus to go through, 30% Ajax. You know, I think it'll be Juventus going through, Barcelona going through, and I can't, as John said, the Spurs Manchester City one is a really difficult one to call. And I'm sure you're going to go on to Liverpool. I think 2-0 for Liverpool. They will score a goal away to Porto.
Yes.
And Porto will then have to score 4.
Yeah.
So I can see Liverpool going through there.
Yeah. John, the Juventus story, if you like, again, an ageing team, particularly at the back, Chiellini, for example, Bonucci. I see Barzagli, Liam, has announced he's retiring. He's 37, 38. He's been a great defender, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's the BBC, you know, Bonucci, Barzagli, Chiellini. They were fantastic with Buffon behind them as well. You know, the Juventus can afford to start renovating the team, changing the team, and they'll still win the league. They're so far ahead of everybody. But the Champions League is something that's it really is a holy grail for them. You know, they've been in 2 of the last 4 finals and lost, Eamon, you know, and played well. So I think for some of these lads, you know, particularly Chiellini, this will be his last chance. Maybe even for Ronaldo, you know.
Yeah.
Ronaldo's getting on as well. He certainly, you know, given the club, given the team a lift with his goals, I think they'll be in the semi final with every chance of getting into the final.
Yeah, John. Last week away to Ajax, Ronaldo scored, and we all know what he did in his last 3 seasons with Real Madrid: goals in the Champions League from quarter final, semi final, final. We've never seen anything like him. He's a phenomenon. And if you were looking at it now, you wouldn't rule Juventus out of winning it, would you?
No, well, I think he's the type of player, Eamon, has given him a chance of winning it.
Yeah.
You know, because they didn't have anybody like that before to get the goals that he can get.
Yeah.
But as Liam said, they are an aging team. Are the others going to be able to do their stuff? They'd be odds on, I think, to get through in this particular match. I was a bit disappointed with Barcelona last week, Eamon.
I know
they got a goal in front in that, but they were a bit too lackadaisical for my liking.
There's nothing wrong with
going and scoring another goal in the match.
I mean, so, Messi walked through the game.
Walked through it. Now, he did get a knock on the head at that time. Now, whether that affected him or not, you know, like Manchester United would probably be in with a better chance than I would expect them to, if that makes sense, you know, because of Barcelona and their attitude last week. I thought they could have finished Manchester United off. And in football, when you get a chance to finish a team off, you should do it. You don't give them a second chance. And I think Manchester United have been given a second chance, although Barcelona, I have to say, would be favourites.
Okay. John and Liam, thank you very much indeed for that look at our football stories for this week. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon, folks.